Well, we did it for just all of us. Every Australian can rejoice in this moment. For just the third time in Ashes history, Australia has defeated the old enemy, capital O, capital E, 5-0. Now, more remarkably, the Aussies did it less than a year after that 3-0 series loss in England that you may now dimly recall. It's a result not even the most enthusiastic supporter could have predicted at the start of the series. They languished in recent times, our cricket team, but this win, it's a massive boost. England, well, back home, tail well and truly between the legs. Here's how yesterday's match at the SCG finished in the ABC grandstand commentary box. Drew Morford and Kerry O'Keefe calling.
Michael Clarke is G'ing this crowd up. If he's not saying stand up if it's 5-0, he's saying come on, get behind Rhino. Harris bowls an edge. Clarke takes the catch at second slip. Australia 5-0. Ryan Harris takes five for. Stand up if it's 5-0.
Stand up. If you're 5-0 up, stand up. If you're 5-0 up, stand up. If it's 5-0 up, stand up. Stand up. Stand up. If you're 5-0 up, stand up. And we're standing, baby.
Kerry O'Keefe's
farewell. Standing. He was part of the off-season. We're all up in the ABC box. 5-0.
Your farewell on grandstand. What a way to finish.
And I was in England thinking, oh, I hope we win one test back home. 5-0.
Australia wins 5-0. Kerry O'Keefe is excited on his last day in ABC broadcasting. Let's look back on this extraordinary series. Joined by cricket writer extraordinary Gideon Haigh. Gideon, welcome.
Good morning.
A very impressive result, it must be said.
Yeah, and I think, as I write this morning, had they played 10 test matches, it would have been 10-0, because the gap between the two teams was growing, not diminishing. And one of the interesting things about this series is that the margins have been so massive, and in fact they've been massive, really, between these two teams since 2005. You know, I think both teams have been inflicting enormous defeats on one another. I don't know what that's all about. It seems to be the sort of the modern characteristic of Test cricket that that, you know, once one team gets momentum, it's very difficult for another team to work its way back into a series.
And this series was a study, I think, on the impact that team psychology has on sporting performance. And we saw the English just crumble.
Well, yeah, I mean, and you know, What we can't forget is that this Ashes series should actually have been in 2014-15. You know, he was brought forward a year for occult reasons of scheduling and because administrators think that there's no such thing as too much of a good thing. So you had the situation where, you know, Australia could go through the northern summer treating it a little bit like a preparation, or, you know, in the event of setback, could console themselves that, you know, there was the possibility of a reckoning down under. And for England, the kind of the reverse was true. You know, no matter what they did, no matter whether they won, their custody of the Ashes would be immediately put in jeopardy. And that kind of helped them demoralising at the same time. So you kind of have to wonder at the wisdom of well, it's worked for Australia, but whether 10 test matches in a row is really a sustainable model. In fact, I hope I never see it again.
Well, and 10 test matches in a row where you have the same players in each other's faces for that extraordinary period of time where, you know, those mind games can be honed, when the nature of opponents can be studied, when everything, it gets down to a very fine art after that sort of extended contact between the two teams.
It is, and I think that probably played a part in making the Ashes here a little bit more a little bit angrier than they needed to be. I think the players by the end of the series were absolutely sick of the sight of each other.
Oh dear, and that, as you say, that played out occasionally on the pitch. Put this into its historic context for us, Gideon. We say the third time that an Australian team has achieved this. What's the company that Michael Clarke's men are keeping?
Yeah, I mean, 2021, Australia won a series 5-0 in Australia. In those days, test matches were timeless. In other words, they were played to a finish. There was no such thing as a draw. So, of course, once one team got the ascendancy, there was kind of no escaping. That was actually a back-to-back Ashes series, because people were ravening for Ashes cricket after the break of the First World War. There hadn't been an Ashes series since 1911-12. So Australia immediately went to England, defended the Ashes, did so successfully, won the first three Test matches of that series. In fact, you know, as a result, ended up winning eight in a row, which had been a record until quite recently. 5-0, of course, in 2006-07, the revenge series. Ricky Ponting's team turning the tables on England from 2005. And now 5-0 this time. You know, it's a remarkable achievement. I think most impressive, perhaps, because of the manner in which Australia's played. You know, they have played aggressive, attacking, buccaneering cricket in the best Australian traditions. And there has been a genuine contrast between the two 11s, in the sense that England probably continued to play its conservative attritional brand of cricket, which had been so successful for it over the last 3 years, but under Australian conditions, against the team that was prepared to take the initiative against them, it wasn't nearly so effective.
And it seems, Gideon, that the more relaxed and comfortable in their skin the Australians are off the field, the more aggressive and alert and switched on they are on it.
Well, you've got to be careful not to confuse cause and effect. You know, if you're winning, you can afford to be relaxed, and I guess when you're relaxed, you're more inclined to win. I mean, I think that in some respects, I think that Lehman's most impressive achievement as a coach was in England when Australia was falling behind and, you know, had a series of disappointing results and then missed out on the opportunity to win two Test matches because of the rain. But the team didn't completely disintegrate. You know, there was a long period through last year where Australia achieved virtually no success. And Lehman prevented that becoming self-reinforcing. You know, Australia hit England hard in Brisbane and continued to hit them hard. And there was sort of no sense that we were watching the same team that that last year had made every post a loser.
Your standout moment for the series?
Mitchell Johnson's spell in Adelaide on a pitch that was a little bit up and down but wasn't particularly fast. It just showed you how very seldom these days we see genuinely fast bowling and what a different game it looks when someone's consistently clocking 150 kilometres an hour. You know, we've got a game these days that's pretty grooved at 135 to 142.
Yes.
And it doesn't see much, but it makes all the difference in the world. And all of a sudden, batsmen are popping about and looking a bit short of fight, looking a bit ungainly, hopelessly late on the stroke, rather like me when I play cricket at the weekends.
I suspect if this had been a pre-helmet series, we might have had a death toll as well.
Well, it was interesting. The other day when Gary Balance got hit on the head by Johnson, took it right near the three lions, and you know all he did was in his helmet off for a bit of panel beating and get a new one. It took me back to the Test match in Sydney in 75 where poor old Keith Fletcher got hit right on the crest near where they used to have St George and the Dragon on the old MCC cap, and it bounced almost all the way out to cover. And apparently Jeff Arnold in the England dressing room said, "Bloody hell, it's almost knocked St George off his horse."
Gideon Haigh, on that note, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Okay, no problem.
Gideon Haigh, cricket writer extraordinary for the Australian and other places, 28 minutes after 8.